Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell, Ray Chung, and Matt Cole. Also, Bucky, the executive producer, and the producer, Luis Gomez. You can check us out on all your social media networks.
My mics and stands. Yeah. I mean,
you got your water? Well,
I got my wall. I've got plenty. I got that from a year and a half ago. I still got that from Tickles.
Do you still got the old candy, the Peeps from Tickles?
I got the jars. I still got the candy jars. They still there.
That's what I love about Tickles. You got jokes and diabetes. It's
great. I always said. Man, so tell me what we got in the studio, man. Are we on?
We're hot.
We're ready to go. Tell them what's up.
What's up?
There it is, baby. Your mic is your day.
What up? Yeah. What's up? How are we doing?
Is that your real name, Johnny Flowers?
That's it.
That's the government name, legal name.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's the name that was passed down from Massa.
There was a Massa Flowers?
Hey, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. They came down from the big house.
Holy shit.
Came from the big house.
Damn. Yeah.
Mouse of Flowers, he passed it on.
Is he growing tulips? What are you guys doing? Yeah,
right. He passed it down to great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great.
He said we were doing flowers, tulips.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. I was just thinking about that just yesterday.
Really?
Just thinking about Johnny Flower, man, I recognize that name. That's boss name.
You ever do any of that genealogy check? Like go back and see how far you go in family history?
You know, I have not. I haven't, but I've been considering it. But, you know, it's like I saw what happened with Fly Sharpton. I saw what happened to him. He found out him and Newt were distant relatives. That's real.
By distant, you mean big house to small house. Same place, same
2 mile radius.
Matter of fact, I think the truth be known. I think I'm starting to believe that we all are really connected. 6 degrees of separation. We're all related.
I believe it.
That's real talk.
Can I distance myself from some of my
That's real talk, right?
So now, are you from California?
No.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan.
That's right.
Nice. What brought you out here?
What brought me out here? Let's see. Well, in addiction.
Okay.
In addiction, we call it... what is the word for it? It's a darn shame. I've been working in addiction and been in recovery for almost 26 years. We call it, it'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, the gist of it is you leave one place and you go somewhere else thinking that place that you're going to will be better than the place you just left.
Okay.
So that's, in a nutshell, what brought me to Cali.
So in Detroit, it was pretty bad. So you just got up and just left.
Not necessarily Detroit. I was bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Johnny Flowers out there running the streets, huh?
How long have you been in California now?
Oh, man. I've been here since 82.
Okay. So it wasn't like the last exodus from Detroit where it was like, the city's crumbling. Let's get out. So
No. I've been out here long enough to where you can almost say that I'm from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
so were you still in recovery when you were in California, or were you, like, how long ago were you? Well, he's been here for over 30 years, and he's been recovery going on 26, so he started recovery here.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, for clearing the
helping
math.
The Asian with math, everybody.
Yeah,
helping.
Thanks there, Matt.
Trying to have a conversation.
Yeah. He just trying to bring some talk to the game.
Yeah. Moving on.
Keep it moving.
You know what? We where's the video at?
Because you said you moved out here because of that, right?
Unbeknownst to myself at that time. I mean, I really didn't. If you would have asked me, I would have probably told you something else. But the truth is that a geographic, that's the word I'm trying to think of. Yeah. They're the geographic. That's what we call them. Okay. But like I say, it wasn't a geographic at the time. At the time, it was just I'm getting away. I think I tried doing comedy. I started doing comedy back in Michigan. Royal Oak. Royal Oak, Michigan. Oh, cool. Comedy Castle. 81.
Is that even still around?
Yeah. Google Comedy Castle, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Still going strong.
Cool, man.
Yeah, still check that out. Going strong. 30-some years. Matter of fact, it is the oldest soul singer owner. Oldest singer owner club back that way, back in the...
The Midwest and stuff?
Yeah, eastern part in that vicinity of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Michigan, Royal Oak, Detroit, Ypsilanti, in that area.
So are your family still back all there?
Most of them. I got plenty of family, but most of them have relocated. I got family here. I got my mom's in Atlanta, sister and her family in ATL. So, yeah, I got, we're in Atlanta. Some of us are here. Some of us still back in Detroit.
In a circle.
It's a triangle, man. 3 points.
Oh, my fault.
We get around.
My bad.
The flower. Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle is the flower's triangle.
My bad. That's cool. So now we got you in the... You said you were doing comedy back in Michigan.
I started. And
then you took what? 20 years off?
30.
30 years off.
Let me be clear on it, though. I had dipped my toe...
Okay.
Into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been following comedy since I was like, 9, 10 years old. So, I mean, matter of fact, the truth be known is that aside from getting loaded, comedy is the only other thing that I really wanted to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this was at an early age. Well, let me back because I didn't start getting loaded until years later. But, so I dipped my toe. Like I said, I've been a comedy fan for years. And,
it's a camera.
It's a GoPro. It's a camera.
Yeah, there it is. It's sideways, but it's a camera. Yeah.
Say, man, is this being streamed live?
No,
not right now. Yeah, your podcast can be streamed live.
I need to contact the folks. If we stream and it's live, and I'm on Mama, I made it. I'm on TV.
Well, you're going to be lucky to get even on website with it.
So even though you started and you kind of dipped your toe in it, then you took some time off and came back to it later, you said since you were 9, you were into comedy. Who were you listening to back then? Any comedy heroes coming up?
Oh, man. That's a funny thing. That's funny you asked me. I was doing a podcast a few years ago with Evan and
Duke.
And EC asked me that same question.
Oh, really?
And when I told him who I listened to, he said, who?
So who was it?
But he did go out. He went to Vegas and went to one of those thrift stores and picked up me an album. LP, that's back. You know how I bring you guys up to date. I don't know if this is a younger generation. The LP. I'm from the old. I'm not from the Bringer area. I'm from the your talent area. But anyway, back in the day, I grew up listening to Dolemite, Jackie Mabley. Anybody?
Mom's Mabley. Well,
see now, about the only person in here who gonna know who I'm talking about is the other black guy.
Right.
The second black guy. Here.
You're giving him way too much credit.
He knew who Jackie Mabley was.
And I know who Dolemite is.
Know if you even black people.
I think
Jackie,
they might have known him as Mom's
Mabley. Mom's Mabley.
Past Cosby and Pryor, that's where I don't know many black comedians past that.
Well, Mom's was the very first. She was even before the 70s. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Red Mom's Fox. Big,
yeah.
Okay, I know Red Fox.
Slappy White.
His name was Slappy White?
Slappy
White. Shit out of White.
Dewey
you just
Marshall.
You just named yourself what you wanted to do to people back then.
Yeah.
Slap some White. Slappy White.
I'm also a fan of Danny Thomas, Milton Burr. I love comedy. It really didn't matter who it was coming from. I mean, if it was funny, you know, that's what got me. That was the hook right there, the funny. Oh, this is a trip, man. It's a lot of parallels. I see a lot of parallels between drug addiction and the comedy world.
Oh, really?
Please enlighten.
Let's start on those parallels.
Particularly from the comic standpoint. A lot of parallels. But one of them is, and I'm sure we've all experienced, we comics have all experienced this before. When you hit in a room, if you're doing
it. So, Darius, what he's explaining right now.
What's he talking about?
It's like, Ray and me get this, but like when you do really well, there's this thing called laughter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Oh, man. I like to refer to it as sprung.
Okay.
That's an old crack.
So the first time
you
got
hit,
you got sprung. Is that what you're saying?
Well, like, I think I got sprung the first time I heard that. The first time I listened to a comedy album, I was hooked. Yeah.
So you were like, this is something I want to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well it, like I said, just in turn. I mean, it's just something that, you know, I mean, it was just, yeah, it hooked me. Just real. Matter of fact, I'll give you another example. The first time I took a hit of and it wasn't crack cocaine back then. This was back in the early 80s. Back then, it was Freebase.
Oh.
This was before crack. But the first time I got a hit of cocaine out of base pipe, wait, I done lost you.
Nope, I'm on it.
Glad.
No, I've watched documentaries. Okay. I know what's up.
Has anybody seen Gangland?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, let me learn from the wife. Hold on. Right, let me get from you.
All right.
No, go on.
Yeah, the first time I took I got a hit off a base pipe.
You set yourself on fire.
No. Well, you know, it was almost along that same road because it was just off to the races.
Right, okay.
And that's similar to how it was with comedy for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's how my road was.
Dang.
Because of the addictive personality? Is that what you think?
No. It's just, it's like I say, it's hard to describe, but it's just something in here. I mean,
what happened when you had a bad show?
Well, at that time, nothing. You just, you know, get back up there.
Oh, so the lows didn't feel worse. You just going for the highs.
Are you talking about now, or are you talking about back in the day?
Back then,
you know what? To be honest about it, I really didn't get into it like I have this time around.
Okay.
I mean, it was still something I would do it, but you know, at that time, my addiction was just starting to take off at the same time. So I think I was getting more into my drug and alcohol addiction than comedy. So yeah, I really didn't take it serious enough, you know, to where if I bombed, it was like, oh man, you know.
Yeah, where you're gonna be like all distraught and have to go get another hit,
right?
In order to get yourself and personality back up.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're basically with the addiction, and you came out here with your addiction. So who got you straight? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, not at all. Oh boy, that's a long story, but
that's why you're on a podcast.
We can do the cliff notes.
Let me put it to you like this: it was not one particular thing. It's just a combination of a lot of pain and suffering over a period of years.
Which drugs were you addicted on?
Pretty much, you
all
name
them?
It. Did them all.
Dang.
Yeah, did a little bit of PCP, a little bit of Wet Daddies.
Wet Daddies, help me out with that. What's that one?
Yeah, what the hell is Wet Daddy?
What's Wet?
Wet
Daddy is PCP. That's I believe they still doing it. Wet Daddy was when you take a cool cigarette, 100, a long, and you dip it in this jar.
In the shirt?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, dip it in that jar and oh, man, boy, that, all matter of fact, I almost smelled that smell just a second ago.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Boy, that was, that was
Pavlov's dogs going on right there.
That was something else. But yeah, Ben did a little bit of everything.
Because that sherm is embalming fluid, isn't it?
That's one of the ingredients.
Dang.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Who knows what was in it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it did the job, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, it did. Did you see that video yesterday?
What, the dude running in the car, jumping in the...
Yeah, butt naked. Yeah. Head first into the back of that
van?
Yeah, the Dutch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, that's how PCP did you.
Jeez.
Yeah, you could run through a brick wall, run right through that door right there, and I'm talking about pull half your skin off and keep running. And half your skin be still hanging on that door. You know, and you still running down the street. That's how that PCP was.
And then you have those videos like 15 cops trying to take down one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to do it again.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Matter of fact, that other video, did you see the other one with the cholo? There's another one on there with the cholo getting out of car, throwing up gang signs, then pulled out a pistol. The police, they cornered him. He pulled out, and then he started firing at the police. And it's not funny, but I mean, the dude, obviously you could look at the video and tell this guy's out there.
Mm-hmm.
He fine, and then the police start shooting back, and he doing a little, a little
Macarena. He's sea-walking around the bullets.
He doing a little, a little old gang, like they not shooting real bullets at him. Yeah. He's taking this time, and all of a sudden he got hit in the elbow, but it was mad. But yeah, that's drug addiction. that's full blown out there. PCP, methamphetamine.
So you said over the course of years it was enough pain. Was there like one point where it's like, this is my rock bottom, now I got to go up? Or was there multiple rock bottoms throughout those years?
Well, like I said, it was just a combination.
Okay.
I mean, it was no particular, it wasn't nothing all of a sudden, light bulb went on type of thing. Just a combination of, streets, jail, prison, beat down, shot, stabbed. I mean, not shot. I was fortunate enough, been shot at. Just a combination of
you
dodged just...
those bullets, too?
Ooh, you doing the dance?
By the grace of God?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't answer,
Did you say you got stabbed?
Been stabbed.
I'm honestly, you look like you were talking like guys like getting skin ripped off. You look pretty unscathed from the amount of time you were, addicted. Are you all right? Everything all healed up?
It was just by God's grace.
All right.
Really, really. Yeah, because I work in recovery and have been for the last 24 years and, deal with people every day. Day and night for the last 24 years with addiction. And, it's no laughing matter, that's for sure.
When you work in recovery, you're like one of the counselors, people come and talk to you, or what exactly you do in that hole? Because there's a lot of different...
Well, I've done a few things, but for the last 20 years, I've operated recovery/sober living homes.
Okay.
Which is what I currently do. That's my 24-hour day job. I got two sober living houses in Garden Grove.
I remember one of them quite well.
Yes, you do.
Tickles, rest in peace. Which is I think we all got to meet Johnny through Tickles.
Actually, I didn't meet Johnny through Tickles. Where did I meet you at the
you
first time?
You met me at Old World.
No. Before that was
The tour.
It wasn't the two and two.
No. You met me at Serenity Hall.
Correct.
Yeah, that's where I met you at.
Yeah, where Johnny said he's going to be a comedian. I said, okay.
That's a funny thing. That's a funny thing because that's actually going to Richard Wise's show actually is what lit the fire back into me.
If this guy can do it.
I went to his show a couple of times and... I think comedy is sort of like, or at least for me, it's sort of like, the fire never goes out. I mean, even if you do comedy and you stop doing it, It's like a stove, a gas stove, you know, that you could cut the pilot. You know, you can cut the stove off. Lit, though, yeah, no pilot's still on. Yeah, yeah, still lit. Mm-hmm. And that's how comedy. I mean, even though I hadn't been doing comedy, but I mean, I've still been following comedy for the last 20-something years. I mean, big time. I mean, enough to where one time my wife's daughter came by one time to visit, and my girlfriend's wife, but anyway, her daughter came by to visit one time, and she was looking through some of my videos, and I had about 6 file boxes full of stand-up.
You like random? Was it all yours?
Or no. Oh, okay. This is, you know, Def Comedy Jam. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, Apollo. Just everything. Anything mm-hmm. that's. I mean, I'm a stand up addict.
Mm-hmm.
So she happened to, you know, she was going through all this, you know, these shoebox. I mean, not shoebox, but you know. And so she asked me. She said, Johnny. She said, look like you really like stand up, huh? And I was like, you think? Yeah. A little bit. But yeah, so no, even though, like I said, I hadn't been doing it, but I was still, you know, still following. Went to shows. I mean, I was at the Grove. You know, I mean, I would go see Lisa Lampanelli. I mean, when Mike Epps came through, you know, I mean, for the last 20-something years, last 25 years, you know, Universal Amphitheater.
I don't know this. How long have you been back doing comedy now?
Let me see. I started back in December 2010.
Okay. Yeah. So just coming up on 5 years.
Oh, yeah. About 4.5. Mm-hmm. And getting back to Richard Wise's show at Serenity Hall, which is where I met DC.
Yeah, I think the night I was there was when Jericho used to host that room.
Uh-uh. No, this was before then. Richard was still hosting it.
Okay.
But anyway, went to his. Matter of fact, Richard Wise actually. He actually pretty much helped get Tickles going.
Okay.
I mean, if it was not for him referring comics to me.
Okay.
Or, you know, giving my name and number to comics, you mm-hmm. know, telling me, you know, yeah, you got a comedy room, you know, hit him up. He sort of got it going. But matter of fact, I Amy Ashton. Anybody know Amy? Amy Ashton,
Facebook
she got the
friends.
Okay. Yeah, she wrote a book. How to get a man or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely read that. Well, I mean, like chapter 2. There's a plot twist in there.
Anyway,
it was good.
So yeah, I met them there. I got a show coming up, Johnny Flowers and Friends comedy show at Brea on the 27th of May.
Nice.
And
free tickets, 8 p.m.?
You know the drill.
All right.
You know the drill. I should have worn my T-shirt.
Who are the friends on that show?
Amy, Rich Wise.
There you go.
Vic Vega.
Okay.
I got a special guest that's not confirmed. Who else do I have? Then I got a couple of local comics.
Nice, man. It's May 27th over at Bray Improv, 8 p.m. free tickets.
Yes,
working social media wise, where can hit you up to get all that?
Oh, you're same old, you know, Facebook. I haven't. I mean, everything is being worked on right now, but mm-hmm. same thing. Facebook, Twitter. What else is going on? Instagram.
Do you have your own website yet?
You know what? I do. I got one. I'm working on another one.
Oh, good deal.
We actually have a sponsor that does. It's DreamHost. It's a web hosting company. And if you want, like, johnnyflowers.com for free, you get that for free. And you can host as many domains with them. Unlimited, like, data, 24-hour tech support if you need help. And the promo code we use is comedy595. You can go to dreamhost.com to use that. That was a little promo.
Well, let's get this going.
Sign
them up right now.
Yeah, it's a year of hosting for $5.95 a month, and it includes a bunch of stuff. And then if you want to build your own websites like I do, you can use the one-click install of WordPress. And
mm-hmm. Wait a minute, did you slip in like you do?
I don't do them. Like, I suck at all things website related. But yeah, I can build websites in WordPress. It's easy. You just like put pictures in there, and you make a page, and you put some words, and you there
so
you
what
go.
So what are you trying to say? You're going to hire Lewis for your podcast to get Matt Cole to build your website. I see how this is going.
Dreamhost.com, promo, comedy 595.
Look out, man. I didn't come over here and...
Yeah. And he stole the equipment. Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Look at you. Look
teaching
at you.
Kids how to make wet daddies. That's where we're going. Listen up, kids. Write that recipe down.
You don't even know what's in it. Just dip it in.
We got your first YouTube series.
But so you did some time in the pen, huh?
Segue of the year.
You can say that.
No, because I want to go into it because it's all on YouTube.
You can
because,
say that.
Yeah, so...
How long?
Yeah.
Oh, how long? I would say off and on.
Oh, wow.
Probably about 3.5. Total. I mean, when I add up all the time I did in jail, state, I would probably say somewhere around about 4 years.
Okay.
Which is on 4 years is that's a little, you know.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I mean, nothing to sneeze about.
Yeah. No, not at all.
No.
But it go with the territory.
Yeah.
I mean, see, if you call yourself, see, it's a difference between, let's clarify things. See, I think you're feeling me.
Bucky's definitely feeling you.
I didn't lost some of these other people. Yeah.
So Bucky said that.
I lost my friends right here.
Yeah.
I didn't lost my folks here, but we feeling each other.
And I did it in prison.
we feeling each other.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, it goes with the territory. I mean, I know that today. It goes, I mean, like, again, it's a difference between we calling recovery, you know, it's three kind of drinkers. You know, it's the social drinker, you know, which pretty much all my buddies are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My friends right here, you know. So
should we not be drinking in front of you? Or?
No, okay. No, man. Look, let me explain something to you. If you pulled out a pistol right now, I'm just saying, I just want to, you know, I hate to use that analogy.
You'll use it, yeah.
But let me just, if you pulled a gun out and spent the trigger and put it in your mouth and then pulled it and then nothing happened and then you passed it to me, I'm going to be like, nah, that's how you doing. I'm good.
That's a great example, by the way.
I don't bother me. Do you know? Got nothing to do with me. Yeah. It's just like if it was sitting on that table, if it was, say, 3 bottles of Drano and 3 bottles of Liquid Plumber. You know, I mean, that's...
So either way, it's all poison to you.
No. Oh, okay. No. I'm just saying it don't have nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, I'm just... That's just a...
because it's probably pretty tough to be in the comedy scene when a lot of drinks. And,
well, I was about to say, because you see, most of your buddies are social. What are the other two types? Because I think I might be a little past social.
I used to be.
Now, other people, it really don't bother me. I mean, remember, you know, I've been sober for almost 25, 26 years. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I mean, I don't, a lot of things that I don't necessarily do today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I just don't do them, you know. That ain't got nothing to do with what other people do. But anyway, my point was, I think I was saying something about the drinkers. And,
there's a social.
Yeah, the 3 different types.
Yeah,
social.
Right. The social drinker, the hard drinker, you know. It's the hard drinker who, you know, they at the bar and, you know, tie it on and do their thing. And then it's people like myself and like the two people who are on that Facebook video yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's people like us.
But that's not from drinking, though.
Well, but it's when I say drinking, I'm just saying that life, whether you get loaded, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It really don't matter. If you're an addict or an alcoholic, it don't matter what it is. It don't matter if we, if y'all, you know, if we was drinking, you know what I'm saying? If we was smoking crack, if we was dipping stick, you know, mm-hmm. wet daddies. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I found out when I got sober, not too long, about maybe about 10 years or so ago, I found out that I think I read it somewhere that it was a new thing going around in on the campuses these days and they call it the funnel.
The funnel through the butt.
They would soak tampons in vodka and shove them up there. Yeah. Well, all that stuff.
Well, right. The one I found out, they put a real funnel.
Yeah, in their bottom. vodka in it.
And they said that the funnel route
is the fastest.
Because it absorbs through the blood almost immediately. Yeah.
Look at everyone. Try it already. Look at you, boy.
Oh, I went to college for 10 years. How do I?
I didn't know none of this.
Yeah, we did keg stands in our days.
Yeah, right.
I was like,
gravity's how you get drunk. Yeah, yeah.
You do not want to be the last guy. Although it helps through with your probiotics, I'll tell you that. It's gonna give you some good bacteria in there. It'll be good.
But nowadays they're doing crazy stuff.
A lot of people are dying because of that. Yeah,
but they're taking crazy stuff now, even too, like putting poop in the bag or something, and what do they call it, Janko or some crap.
Huh?
They're putting poop in the bag, what? And the fumes from the poop smell.
So you smelling shit, and you get high off of shit?
Yeah, yeah.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah, there's some weird shit.
Wait, what was that? No, I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
That's called shit, daddy. Yeah. Stick a finger up some shit, and you sniff it.
They condense it in a bag and it lets all the methane collect and then they inhale methane. But that's, you can die that way almost immediately.
Oh, yeah. Everything in drugs, you can die.
It's like huffing pain.
Then they call it Janko or some shit like that.
Ooh, that is Janko.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say something about methyl? What was that?
Methane gas.
Methane.
Yeah.
Oh. Boy,
that's the gas that comes off shit.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Huh. Boy, you never know what's on the market these days.
How much does that go for, Jerry? Yeah, How much is a bag of Janko going for?
I'm pretty serious.
$5 a sniff.
I'm pretty sure you just go in the bathroom and get your shit.
Just go get some Panda Express and you're ready to go. Yeah, it's just.
It's just Lucas has a good shit.
Yeah. It's just a really weird the world we live in, man.
I'll say there.
So you haven't had anyone come in the recovery place with that as their addiction, obviously, then?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Not that I know of, but it is something to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now when people come to you, obviously they've been through a stint of prison, they got out. Are
not necessarily
because you're a sober living home, so you guys aren't obviously got guards or anything there. Mm-mm. So it's all a free will,
pretty much. But most of the times, if somebody comes to me, they initially they're coming because they say that they're ready to get sober, they want to stay sober. You know, a lot of times when they get here, they're sober. You know, whether it be a couple of weeks, a month, or a year, whatever. So they just, for whatever reason, be it financial, support, et cetera, they want to move into sober living.
Are there really strict rules? Like if you start using it again, you get kicked out? Is there like curfews and stuff?
But I've done them before. Mm-hmm. I screen pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's, you know, that don't mean nothing. I just had to toss 3 chicks out Wednesday. Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, this past Tuesday. Yeah, just had to. 3 chicks was in the house getting smoking methamphetamine and put an ad on Craigslist and
Craigslist.
For meth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You see, in that game there, you know, especially when you're female, you know, you can get the party going right away. You know, all you got to do is just put an ad on Craigslist, you know, party girls, you know, or something, you know, let's get the party going. You know. We ready if you ready, you know, and bam, just, you know.
Turn the white dogs, huh? Wow.
But, you know, but yeah, we don't waste time for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it pretty rough then? I mean, because you're bringing people in legitimately like, hey, I want you to get better. And if they're not changing, if they're going back to their old ways, if they can't stay sober and you got to kick them out, is it at this point, because you've been doing it for so long, is it you see it too much? Do you see any actual people going through recovery and succeeding?
Oh, yeah. That happens often. I got a lot of people who've been through my places in the last 20 years, been sober. 18, 19, 17, 15. So it's, yes, you know, went back to school, you know, got degrees, you know, home on, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lot of, it's hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's hope. Yes, yes.
I was like, it's like you're, out of all the guys, I mean, you're one of the most positive guys. You support a lot of younger comedians coming up. And that all day. Like, how do you keep yourself at such a positive energy level? I mean, it doesn't seem like bring you down at all. I've never seen you in a down moment before.
Well, it probably has to do with recovery.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, a lot of it has to do with recovery. You know, when you say, for instance, like in my case, when you've done some of the things that I've done, you know, been some of the places, you know what I'm saying? It's like we got an old saying around here. Every day is Christmas. Another day in paradise, you know. So the whatever it happened to may be in the comedy world, comedy scene. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, this is, you know.
Does it affect you? Cause
well, yeah, it's like this is really. I mean, it's just really nothing for me to, you know, get off in. I mean, get, you know, I'm not about to, you know, get, you know, whatever. I mean, even I'll give you another example. And I've actually had friends of mine, you know, they actually got, you know, they felt more bad about it than I did. But they asked me, you know, why don't people who've been through your room, you know, who you put on, you know, who now have moved on and got shows at the Improv, you know, other, you know, bigger venues, mm-hmm. and, you know, they have, you know, never book you, you know, and I'm like, well, you know. Ain't no big deal, you know. So, you know, I mean,
oh, yeah, that is a
it's
good
too
point.
Much like, other stuff, mm-hmm. to, you know, for me to be doing, you know, and for me to get caught up, you know, what I'm saying, and wondering, you know, or even, you know, I mean, I'm not the type of person who, you know, one, you know, I mean, I just don't have the time to waste, and then two, it's just I'm a hustler, you know. I mean, I'm not. I don't see anybody doing anything that I can't do,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm not the type of guy who is going to wait around, you know what I'm saying, and, I get a call one day, you know what I'm saying, to be on your big show at the
Improv. Yeah, you're right, there's only so many guys that produce big shows, there's only so many headliners that can take a feature, you gotta hustle and do it for yourself.
Pretty much, you know, mm-hmm. that's my philosophy, you know, but I mean, as you guys know, you know, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of BS, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I mean, you know, I see it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't get off in it, you know, but you see it there, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You hear it all the time, you know, and it's like, and it really tripped me out, though, when I see adults, you know, on Facebook, you know. You know, I mean, really, it's just, it's pathetic, you know? I mean, I wish I would, you know. In my 50s, and this was 5 years ago. I'm not even talking about now. You know, I wish I would have 5 years ago in my 50s, you know, been on, and when I say 50s, that's another story right there, but I'm just giving you my government. You know, that's my government. You know, that's what the government sees it that way. You know, I have another philosophy.
I love your philosophy. Right, are you about to talk about times of conspiracy?
You talk about philosophy about your age?
No, well... DC, I mean, here's the way I see things, and this is just this truly is the truth.
Yeah,
I mean, my philosophy, see, the age, time, months, dates, that's all man-made. You know, time is infinite. It's impossible to gauge it. Life is a succession of moments. That's it in a nutshell. That's what life is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you, I look at it like this: me and any other living creature, person, you know, whether it be, you know, your children, you know what I'm saying, you know, doggy, well, you know, the baby, you know, I mean, we all, everybody got is right this right now. That's it. That's all you got. One moment, from one moment to the next moment. That's it. Really. You know, now, like I say, you know, the government, you know, they got a way, you know, they do things that way, you know, because they, you know, they run the earth, you know. So, I mean, I, you got the money, you know. So, you know, if you got the money, if I had all the money, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if I had, you know, a town, a state full of money, then I could make the rules, you know.
I got
really.
You.
So anyway.
You're right, because the corporations, the way where we live our society, it's based off 8 hour, 5 days. Everything's based in increments of time.
Yeah.
What? Your worth is valued in time.
But, you know, again, it all comes down to, and we're getting way off track here. But
no,
like,
no, no. Hey,
this is what we do.
Yeah.
Man.
This is what we do.
This is just how I see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it all comes down to that dollar. I mean, to the elite that control all the wealth. Nice. And they just decide, you know, okay, this is the way things are going to go. And that's just how it is. And so in that, you know, in that gauge right there, okay, so yes, you know, it's just, you know, I was born in April, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although there's no 16th as April, you know, that's just something that they, you know, we're going to call this April. This will be 1958 and 59. And, you know, this is year 2015. And anyway. But yeah, no, I'm
he ain't feeling anything.
I'm not about to. I mean, I
Bucky's Googling, what the fuck is time?
Yeah.
Facebook is entertainment for me. And, you know, I'm not, you know, you'll never see me posting any.
No.
You know, I'm not really. Well, you certainly will never see me getting into some type of, you know, Facebook post-war, you know, with some other, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable. Yeah, but all that's good material, though. Yeah. that's good laughter right there. Yeah, that's what I like about it.
So you follow Kay Gary's page a lot, then, is what you're trying to say.
you know what? A little bit. I like Kay. Matter of fact, Kate came to Tickles one time. I booked her to do a show. And I was, believe it or not, I happened to be running late that particular night. And she came to the room and went to use the restroom. And anyway, she said later that when she walked into the house, that all the guys that were sitting in there watching TV, they all turned around and looked at her. And so she felt, I forgot the term she used. But anyway, she just took off. She left.
Uncomfortable,
intimidated, threatened, or something to that effect. But yeah, she split.
Well, that back alley that we used to pull up in.
you were allowed to pull up in it?
Yeah.
I had to move my car once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened quite a few, well, not quite a few, but that happened several times.
What's that?
I would have book people to come and do the show,
mm-hmm.
and they quite a few of them drove by, slowed down, you know, and I saw the light from their phone come on and looked like they double checked and, you know, made sure it was the right address and then hit the gas.
I never heard from them again. Tickles, the way I discovered it is it's in Garden Grove.
Yeah.
I had a park. I walked. And it was, you know, this time it was dark at night. I'm walking down this dark alley, and you roll up on Tickles, and the driveway's got a gate. It's like halfway open. There's a couple of people in recovery. Just kind of hanging out outside
having a cigarette or something.
And I'm like, is this? Yeah, like, are you here for the comedy show? Yeah, it's in here. You find out it's a sober living home, and you go into the garage, and then it was animated. It was a lot of fun, Johnny. You ran it really well there, man. Walk in, there'd always be some old ass candy laying out on the front. I remember there was peeps there for like 3 months, and the one girl just kept just railing those things, man. Always a good time.
Thank you. Yeah, just
I had a hard time doing it in July, though. It was hot as hell in that room.
Yeah, that's that was actually one of the ways that for me to get stage time. That's how that whole thing started. You know, I used to go to Hollywood in L.A. and went there for maybe about, I don't know, 6 weeks, you know, went to Marty's, and I just wouldn't, you know, the 3 to 5 minutes. I remember one time asking if I could be a guest host, and, you know, and the guy was like, you know, no, I already got all my hosts. I don't need nobody, you know. And so anyway, so that's how I ended up starting that room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for stage time. And
did you build the stage yourself in there?
I had a guy who does maintenance work for me build it.
Okay.
And then I had another guy. He pretty much it was funny because about the time, this was like maybe 4 months after I started doing comedy and restarted, whatever. But and then around about that time, around about in April, I also had just happened to watch this video, I Am Comic. I don't know if you you ever saw that.
Yeah.
You guys see that?
Yeah documentary. Okay. It's been on Netflix for a while.
Right, okay. And then what is his name?
Todd Glass,
right. Well, yeah, would you remember towards the end when he, and I didn't know it at the time, but when he, you know, when they redid the Improv Annex and he was, I think him and Guy Tori were doing something. He was doing a show and he was like, you know, this is what a comedy room looks like, you know. And so anyway, I saw that video and one of my managers who had been staying in there at that time, he moved and I was looking for a room, you know, I was looking for a room in Orange County and everything sort of came together. He moved and I had saw that video and he was gone and I had this room and I, bam.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Birth of Tickles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got How'd it. You come up with Tickles just out of curiosity? That's one thing I've always wanted to ask you. Out of all the names, because every time it's like, oh, you guys are going to Tickles, I'm like, what is that, a gay bar? I'm like, no, it's a comedy room.
Well, that's another, I think I had been doing it maybe for 2-3 weeks, and I was trying to book some comics, and I had, I got in touch with Big Mike Mitchell, and asked him if he would come and do my show, and he said, yeah, you know, send me the deets, and I said, okay, and about a week or so before he was coming down, he hit me up again and said, you know, send me the details, what's the name of it? and I said, I think I let it slide for a minute, you know, let that text slide for a minute. And while I was trying to figure out how I was going, you know, I needed to figure something out. And then and it just, you know, popped in my head. Okay, I'm going to go down to my print shop and have them make me a banner and I'll call it Tickles and Tickles Comedy Room. And that's how it happened. Yeah.
My favorite thing about the sign, and it's on my I still have the picture, the first picture. I think it was my second time we're there. You took me a picture while I was on stage. And right behind it says Tickles Comedy Room. It's got like the Facebook one. And then instead of being like at Tickles or whatever it was, because that's how you like you post like a Twitter thing, it's the at and then the handle. It's the actual link. It's like HTTP, Twitter, dot, and then like the name of it. I laughed so hard. I'm like, this is amazing. This is so good.
Oh, man.
It's one of my favorite pictures, man. It was a good time there. So you've been on a bunch of shows. You've been doing comedy for a while. Have you ever had just like the worst heckler moment? Like have you ever run into hecklers?
Oh yeah, I run on occasion.
Do you remember like your worst?
Jeez. Boy. You know what? I can't really say that I had a worst heckler moment. Yeah, because for me, I sort of embrace hecklers. Mm-hmm. But I did have a moment when I probably would say my worst moment thus far. Mm-hmm. I did a show, and I think I had been barely into this for 4 months, and yeah, not even 4 months, maybe 3.5 months. Did a show, and it did, you know, three and a half months into. I mean, I don't want to say that I tanked, but it, you know, it wasn't my best show. But then the comic that who was hosting the show came up after me and lit me up for about a good three minutes.
Welcome to the game.
What was the host saying?
Oh, he
throw
just
him on the bus.
he did a good 3 minutes off of my 3 minutes. He did a good. I can't remember exactly what he.
Do you know the host's name?
You know what? I'm not even gonna mention his name.
but we're gonna put it on Facebook for you and start that rant.
I will say that. Yeah, he lit me up for a good 3 minutes. And like I say, I may not, you know, remember the specifics, but what I won't forget is how I felt. Mm-hmm. I'll always remember that.
Mm-hmm. Were you mad? Did a lot of fire under you? Well, how'd you take it?
Well, it was a combination of the three. Yeah, I mean, I really took it personal. Didn't really, I mean, well, let me put it to you another way. Not even a year later, maybe 7-8 months later, while I was still, you know, into this, doing due diligence, you know, I do a lot of that, you know, from time to time. And so anyway, I recall reading some, I can't think of this guy's name, some guy that did a couple of courses, but he mentioned something similar to that situation that I had. And he said that, he, and like I say, this was in print way before my situation. But anyway, he mentioned something to the effect of, you know, if you happen to... If a situation like that ever occur, you know, it's really... It's, not only see, because if you happen to stick around, you know what I'm saying, it's not like you're gonna forget a situation like that. So mm-hmm. I guess the moral to the story was that I didn't want to be that type of guy, you know, mm-hmm. because you know, yeah, it's just one of them things that unfortunately, you know, it's like, you know, you just, I mean, I know I hate to say it, but I mean, even though, I mean, I like to think of myself as being tough skinned, but, you know, so you know how it is, you know, y'all comics, you know, some things come up to where, you know, that's probably gonna, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna put like a divide, you know, it's gonna be one of them type mm-hmm. of things to where I really ain't feeling this person, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think I, you know, I'm just, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I wish I could say, you know, but it's just, you know, I mean, it's like, I, you know, I think I'd be better off, you know, if, I guess I would say I'd be better off if, you know, we just did our own thing, you know. I mean, I'm sure most people, you know, I don't know about none of y'all. I mean, me being the type of guy I am, that's, you know, that's a tough thing, but, you know, I mean, I'm sort of like, I'm like this here, you know, if I don't really know somebody, and I got this, I think, I picked this up, doing time and one, and then two, being in recovery, but it's not really a good thing to make assumptions. Mm-hmm. You should probably, you know, I don't like to. I mean, you'll never hear me talking about somebody who I really don't know. I mean, just mm-hmm. say, for instance, you. I mean, if I had met you 3 or 4 months ago, I don't even know you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if we just seen each other in passing, I mean, I don't know you well enough mm-hmm. to talk about your character, you know, to talk about what kind of person you is, because I don't know you. I'm the type of person who I'll have to know you for several years, you know, because it all come out in the wash anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, after you've known a person for a few, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, then, you know, you pretty much know what kind of person you're dealing with.
Yeah, I don't want to go too negative, but because of that, I like to go positive after that. Uh-huh. So that was worst moment. What's the best time you've ever had on stage, man? What's that time you're like, I killed this show, I'm walking
when
off.
When you punched that motherfucker.
Yeah, well, you knocked him out with comedy, yeah. Man.
Say, motherfucker, I was in prison. Bitch, you better ask somebody respect.
You guys, that one moment you replay in your head to keep you going? Like, you know, if you have a bad set, you're like, but there was that one time, and that's the one.
You know what? Again, here's another equation.
You give it parables after every question.
It just is. This is just another equation to the old dope world.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, I mean, this was like maybe 3-4 years ago. I did Paradise Perks and you know, just a open mic room. But back then, at that time, the room was packed with civilians. And I did about 6 minutes and ripped it for about about 5.5, but ripped it for about a good 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That was like taking a hit. Mm. And because even after you get off the mic, you know what I'm saying? You still twitching.
Yeah, you can't sleep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You still, you know, sweating. And it's just, you know, it's a euphoric feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you know. And so, and basically, in my opinion, you know, anybody who, and, you know, it's a funny thing with comedians. You know, you may not see it. For instance, if you in Orange County or in the IE, you may not see it like if you were in LA and Hollywood. But you just see a different level, so to speak. I mean, it's just a different immersement. I mean, you know, a lot of comics that's in Hollywood, L.A., you know, a lot of them who come out of state, you know, who came here to do comedy or whatever, you know, be actors, blah, blah, blah. But they just all the way in this here. They put it all on the line, you know what I'm saying? And don't think twice about it. I mean, they just in it, you know, they just, this is it. And it's sort of like, you know, you just, like I say, you rip a room, you know, or, and even if you don't, I mean, if you into this thing, even, it really don't matter. I mean, it don't matter if you rip or you had a so-so set, you just can't wait to get back up there. You know, if you ripped, you know, you sprung, you know, and then if you had a so-so set, you know, all you thinking about is how to fix them jokes while you on your way to the next spot. Mm-hmm. You know how to fix this up, and so, I've had a couple of, if I were to pinpoint, I would probably say that I've had, you know, two or three of them, but like I say again, I'm still waiting for that big one, you know, but I mean, but that was, I mean, it's an addiction. I mean, coming here, you know what I'm saying? This was, believe me, this was, you know, this is part of it. You know, this is part of it. And then, you know, heading down to the J spot. I mean, it's all.
Is that why you're looking all sharpie sharp? You head to the J spot tonight?
Well, see, that's a good question there.
There's never, you know, a straight answer, man.
Yeah. No, officer, that is not my week.
Usually, if I go perform in L.A., I don't dress Orange County when I go to perform it. I mean, even if I go to a show, and if it's a show, you know, you will probably see me similar to how I'm dressed right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, matter of fact, I thought about this earlier today. I don't know how else I could be dressed. I'm just saying. I mean, I can't be wearing. I mean, not if I'm going somewhere. I can't just be showing up, you know, with sweats and sneakers on, and you know, and not according to the government. And I'm in my like 50s. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, I can't be. You know, I gotta. You know, I mean, I gotta be kind of, you know, looking kind of like I'm serious, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I may do comedy, but I don't want to, you know, look like a joke, you know?
Yeah.
True. It's like I said, it's all in this, man. I mean, You know, it's all, you know, in the same pot of stew right here. Coming here, like I say, just, you know, anything that got to do with it's a blessing and a curse.
Wait, so whose fault was it that you got stabbed? Like, was it your fault? Like, you know, or was it like the other person? Yeah. Like, why? What is the
night of
context?
Amazing segues?
What is the context of this stabbing?
You know what? You know what? I probably should not have said.
Let's move it on.
No. You know, in reality, yes, I got shot at, but a guy,
he sliced you.
Yeah, he, you know, cut the knife across, you know, right here.
On your arm. Forearm?
No, yeah. Right here. Yeah, you can still see the
scar.
Yeah, you can still see the scar. Yeah, but yeah, no, I shouldn't be talking about, you know, I got stabbed, you know what I'm saying, trying to make claims, you know, like I'm tough or something. Yeah. You know,
I don't think anybody
from
our podcast
is
going to
more than a paper cut, but less than a stab.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I say again, it's unfortunately it goes with the territory. You know, when you are addicted to drugs and booze and you live in a certain lifestyle and you don't work and it is what it is. Sadly, you know, but it's all part of the plan though.
Huh.
I mean, Ray, here's the thing. Now, see, I didn't recognize none of this when I was in that, you know, when I was in it. You know, but then after I sobered up, after some years went by, you know, a good 10 years went by, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get to looking back, and you're like, wait a minute, hit the brake, wait a minute now. Now, how is it possible for crack cocaine to hit every major urban inner city at the same time?
CIA, baby.
I'm just saying. I mean, it did. It hit New York. It hit Detroit, Chicago, Philly, Baltimore, you know, on and on. All at the same time. L.A.
Mm-hmm.
All at the same time. But like I say, but, you know, when you, you know, you just, you know, you don't, you know, you... At the time, you know, you just get caught up.
You're taking it for the gift at the time, huh?
Huh?
Yeah, thank you for this.
Were you ever selling or just using?
You know what? I really never got off into
the business side.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, a little dibbling dabbing, but nothing, you know. But like I say, it was all across anyway.
Right.
Really, don't matter which side you were on. You know what I'm saying? Whether you were, I mean, you, I don't know, you've seen Gangland. I mean, watch some of those old, you know, I mean, matter of fact, you can even YouTube, 1980, Battering Ram, LAPD. It's all on the internet. You know, they'll tell you about all.
Are you
them.
On that episode?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not there. But yeah, that was, I'm, like I say, I'm just fortunate to be a monster living.
Will there ever be a Johnny Flowers book, like a memoir,
like a tell-all?
Yeah, because this was very vague. I want a chapter devoted to the stabbing. Besides, things happened, and
you know what? That could well be. You know, it could well
be.
We'll
definitely get it to New York. Times bestseller for sure.
Johnny Flowers audiobook.
Recorded by Louis Gomez.
Louis, we got you another gig.
Yeah, Louis, we got you another gig, man. So I know you got to get ready to go out to the J spot.
Well, not right now. I got to head back to my spot and then.
Okay.
Oh, you got to head back to your spot and then head out. Pick up
but
people.
I know you guys got things. I mean, this thing.
We got to look at each other.
What are you guys doing tonight?
I'm going to go to the Thunder Goat to catch Ari Shaffir over at Brea. I don't know yet.
Okay.
One of the two. Like I said, rubbing elbows or saying goodbye to a room that's going out. So
okay.
That's my plans for tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go rub something out, buddy.
That's right. Wife gone, kids gone. It's me time.
Your wife, it's...
No, they went to the sister's house.
Nice.
Yeah, take them up. Take them up.
So, Johnny, one more time, any other shows you wanted to plug? Anything else coming up for our listeners to go to?
Let me see.
Please end with another fair game.
This Saturday, It'll be on my Facebook page. I'm at Deep Bev's Comedy Splash.
Where's that at?
That's in L.A.
Okay.
South Central.
Okay.
I'm at Deep Bev's Comedy Splash. I thought I was going to be doing your show.
Which one?
But then I saw the flyer.
You did my show.
No.
You just did my last show.
No, your new show.
Oh, yeah.
That we hadn't talked about, but I saw the flyer. But I didn't figure we had to talk about it. That's my dude. Then I saw the flyer, and I was omitted. I wasn't on the flyer.
Damn.
So,
no,
what happened, man? You deleted Johnny Flowers?
So I had to hook up six shows quickly.
Yeah. I'm doing the VA Wednesday, VA in Westwood. Okay. I might be doing Vic Camp's. He got a room in Long Beach. I may be doing that Friday. And then my show, my AA room show,
is it the 202 still?
No, that's at the Garden Grove Alano Club.
Garden Grove Alano.
That is Friday, April 17th.
Nice.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, that's
my... When does that one start?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, awesome.
Right, that's 8 to 10.
And but then congratulations, by the way, Brea Show, May 27th,
May
27th, 8
p.m., free tickets, Johnny Flowers and Friends. I'm going to be breaking it off, and I'm going to keep it condensed.
What day of the week is that?
That's on a Wednesday night. That's 2 days after Memorial Day.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, but Orange County and Brea is going to hear it all.
Yeah.
They going to hear it all. Yes, indeed. You need to be there.
Yeah, Bucky. You'll be there, buddy.
I'm going to make sure that you going to be my personal guest.
You remind me of Pretty Boy in prison.
We got you on the guest list.
I'm feeling you, boy.
So I want you sitting up front.
Oh.
Bucky's definitely a back of the room guy.
Bucky up front.
We can find you Facebook, Twitter, Johnny Flowers.
Yes, sir. I'm all over. And then if for some reason you can't find me, go to comedianmattcole.com.
There you go.
You just look through there. I'm somewhere over there.
Nice. Darius, what you got coming up, man?
Where am I on Tuesday? I'm with. Somewhere on the 17th for Valentine's Day. What's the day?
That's St. Patty's.
Yeah, it ain't going to drop by that time. I'm on a Tuesday, and then I'm April in Huntington Beach.
What day in April? We might get it up.
First.
I think April 1st. That's Fool's a Wednesday. Day. April Fool's Day.
Yeah. And then
Huntington
April
Beach,
10th,
is that Old, World with Rico?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Just go on. I ain't got shit. I'm just drinking. The only reason you're doing this shit is just talk about your own fucking show. So let's not play games. I'm not gonna be Johnny Flowers here and take 5 minutes to answer a fucking question. Just fucking plug your goddamn shows.
Right, because everybody's interested. Where we can find you on social media, dude? No one gives a fucking ass shit.
If you fucking care, it's Asian Butt Thunder.
It's Asian Butt Thunder.
But go ahead, Matt. You're fucking working.
Oh, is it my turn now?
It's your turn.
Guys, you can find me at all things Matt Cole Comedy. That's my website, mattcolecomedy.com. All social media. Come on out. April 7th, I'm actually going to be at the Ontario Improv.
You got a new fucking podcast. What the fuck's going on with that?
Why is he getting all hard and shit?
I'm not going to plug it out here, but if you guys want to go to...
No, plug it.
But if you guys want to go to honestignorance.com...
I checked your website. There's no dem nuts on that bitch.
Oh.
There is.
The fucking false fine print. What is it?
It's on your podcast.
I just see honest ignorance. You and your butt buddy, Tony Alfaro. That's all I see, dude. That's all I see, man.
It's a great episode. You guys should listen to it.
Wait, hey, if you're going to plug it now, you know I'm plugged for 5 weeks.
Guys, every Wednesday in Laguna Beach at Hennessy's, we got an amazing show there. That starts at 8 p.m. Free parking after 7 coming out to that one. The Clubhouse Comedy Show, April 7th. I'm also doing the Ontario Improv April 7th. That'll be a good show. And then check out anything else at mattcolecomedy.com.
Cool, this is Them Nuts, and we're out.
Thanks for coming out, John.
Oh, yeah, thank you.